You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi Hotep. Family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day on this hump day, Wednesday. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you'll do it. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, if you want to listen to this program live, go to timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. No more tune in. I don't direct you. But if you want to listen to radio programs anywhere in the world, go to TuneIn. If you want to listen to radio programs, if you're in one city and move to a different city and you like the radio programs back in the old city, go to TuneIn. You might be able to find that program on TuneIn. So, but if you want to listen to this program without commercial interruption, go to timeforanawakening.com. On the right side of the page, you'll see the link. Click on that, and then the program's live. Okay, family? But if you want to go directly to the programs for babaoshi.net, just use whatever search engine you use. Put in the search, Baba Oshi, BABAOSHI.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and all times are Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday from 8 until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans with Brother Bomani Tayemba. He's ready to take another group of our people on a trip of a lifetime in the next couple of weeks, 2 weeks. March 29th to April 9th, going to Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, going to Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, a zinnia. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. And November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashahincorporated.org. They have the Kashi Project in Ghana. They have Habashah Works here locally here in the Atlanta area. So, Habashahincorporated.org. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. They have 12 projects in 6 different African countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. They deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Brother Nathaniel Jordan is going to be in Kenya for a couple more months, I believe. But once he returns, we'll be talking with him, find out about that experience and how you can assist. But brothers and sisters, go to the Minister of Wellness's website, theministerofwellness.com, theministerofwellness.com, yes. New products. He has a free biblical health ebook. Sign up now. You can sign up for an ebook and all kinds of good stuff right there for the Minister of Wellness. Disease free in 23. Right on. Smai Pharmacy. Smai Pharmacy. SmaiPharmacy.com. SmaiPharmacy.com. Brother Jabril. He has so many more new products on the website. Go to smypharmacy.com or you can give him a call at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smai Pharmacy, SmaiPharmacy @gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation family, the Moses West Foundation, water is free. Water should never be commodified. Water is a universal human right. Water is a human universal human right. He has developed the atmospheric water generator, the AWG, and the AWG family extracts the H2O molecule, water, out of the air, because it's all around us. It goes through a purification process in the machine. It doesn't mix with the toxins that are in the air as well. Open the tap and out comes clean, drinkable, usable water. Water, family. The AWG. The atmospheric water generator, Brother Moses West, the Moses West Foundation. All right. Excuse me. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in the Atlanta area, across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna in the West End. And they have smoothies, fruit drinks, delicious pastries, and all kinds of good stuff. Vegan food on weekends, Saturday and Sunday. Vegan dishes that they sell. Dry goods, beans, and so forth. Legumes. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404 1635 or Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. See, Mama Nia sent out something about a book signing at her place on Facebook. But she has that ability. She has the room that she can do that and have book signings and presentations, various books. So, the Medu Bookstore. Give her a call. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Just take I-20, go east towards Augusta. Take exit 74. That's Main Street in Lithonia. When you take the exit, make a left onto Main Street, straight ahead. And on the left, about a mile down, will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. With my good friend, Brother Kazimde Ajamu, who is the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back on the street again. Head back the opposite direction. Now you are going south. Go back onto I-20 East. Make a left. Now you're going I-20 East again. The next exit, exit 75, is Turner Hill Road. Take the exit, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night from 9 to 10. On Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. If you want to listen or hit star, or I think it's pound, I don't know. If you want to listen, and then you can hit that and you'll be up in the queue and you can give your question, comments, or concerns. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, he's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And he has holistic healthcare products, beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, theater, literature, jewelry, Pan-African fashions, furniture, you name it. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premises. Brothers and sisters, just check out Brother Abijah. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225, please give my good sister, Shelly Amundset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-IET, the work that Sister Gabby is doing is phenomenal. In the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, and of course, Haiti has been in the news because of the total breakdown of government on the island of Haiti. They're even talking about bringing in some Kenyans. Man, this is crazy. It just bothers this. Sanjay, SONJAYIETI.org. Sanjay-IET.org. And I need to try to give my sister Baina Bello a call to see how she's doing, you know. See if I can talk with her. That'd be great. Yeah, Baina Bello. The jewel, to me, the jewel of Haiti. Yeah. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, Baba Barudi, Mama Ya,
would love to get financial assistance for the great work that they're doing, you can use PayPal. Go to Yaa Baruti, Baruti, at yahoo.com. Cash App, go to Cash App, put in the dollar sign, and then Yaa, Yaa, the letter M, and then Baruti, Baruti. And, of course, if you want to buy the books, Baba Baruti's prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com. That's AkabinHouse.com for the great books that Baba Baruti writes. And believe me, I love them. In fact, that's what we're doing today. We're reading from Baba Baruti. First, of course, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we read from the Inyasasim, of daily revolutionary thought. Daily. That's interesting because today, yesterday, and today's Inyasasim is pretty much what we're going to be talking about today. So, wow. I know it happens like that all the time, brothers and sisters. March 12th. Our ancestors' pain runs through our veins. Be original, King. They forced us out of our spirituality, and now we have succumbed to their religion, Christianity, Islam, whatever else, Seventh Day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness. They turned us against our melanin, and now we worship its absence. They led us to be ashamed of our origins, and now we claim sources anywhere except home. They punished us into a fear of true drumming, and now we have given them our circles. They starved us and then fed us wasted food, and now we are repulsed by fruits, veggies, and herbs. They have trained us to crave being inside an artificial experience, and now we are afraid to go out and be touched by nature. We have moved from possession to dispossession and from life to death. I feel what my ancestors felt. Damn. March 13th. Sankofa practitioners understand that Africa, deculturalization is essentially African miseducation. And the cure for African miseducation is to read, discuss, study, learn, and then use the lessons of African history along with the best of African culture as an offensive weapon in the war against the European or Arab colonial outposts implanted in the African psyche. To decolonize the African mind, African freedom seekers must destroy their deeply rooted, interconnected networks of internalized European or Arab values and beliefs. These are the invisible chains of mental slavery that for centuries have allowed Europeans and Arabs to manipulate and control us. First as slaves, and then as religions, as religious converts, and now as pseudo citizens. Sankofa practice is an indispensable weapon in the war to decolonize or re-Africanize the African mind. Uhuru Hotep. Consciousness does not sleep. Day and night, we become more aware of their moves to destroy us. You see, their psychopathic genocidal insanity. You see their reactive suicidal death wish. It outrages and anguishes us to see our family blindly, willingly rush toward a white death. For awakening Africans, consciousness does not bring peace. It brings the war to your doorstep. However, for mentalcidal Africans, ignorance sustains a slave's bliss. Oh, deep. Ashe. Affirm. Sankofanizing myself and other willing Africans in my life's work and aspirations. Ashe. Affirm. Sankofanizing myself and other willing Africans is my life's work and aspirations. That's a true, true, true statement, family. Sankofanizing, return, go back and fetch it. Sankofanizing myself and other willing Africans is my life's work and aspiration. First of all, I want to go back in the African mind. Yes, I want to go to Africa. I say that all the time on this program. I say that all the time to people that know me and know my desire. That's what I want to do. But I got to go back with the right mind. I just can't go back with the bull. I got to go back with my right mind. Saw this. I'm going to talk about excuse me. I'm going to talk about today cultural genocide. Cultural genocide. And I told you we touched on it in the Inya Sesem. But we're going to talk about cultural genocide. If we can get some dialogue about that. That's deep. Cultural genocide. But first I want to play this thing somebody sent, I don't know, on Facebook, whatever. But it's artificial intelligence, Donald Trump. AI, Donald Trump. There's profanity in it. Thank goodness we're on you know, where you can use, I mean, I know we on Time for an Awakening, we don't promote and push profanity, but we know that it happens sometimes. But I think this situation, yeah. So this is artificial intelligence, Donald Trump.
I'm AI Donald Trump, and I think my supporters are nothing but inbred white trash. If you are one of my supporters, you are among the stupidest motherfuckers on earth. Only a brain-damaged, trailer-dwelling, redneck, sling-blade type would stand by a clown like me, knowing full well that I am a rapist, con man, thief who owes half a billion in legal judgments, and after a lifetime of creating a fake image of unlimited wealth, I don't have the cash to pay them. And yet millions of dumbfounded dipshits still think I'm their lord and savior. It's really pathetic because it just goes to show that a huge percentage of America is made up of complete fucking idiots. Only the most hopelessly gullible morons would still support me after 91 felony indictments. If you're still supporting me after January 6th, Stormy Daniels, the Trump University fraud, the Trump mortgage scam, my serial wife cheating, the Access Hollywood tape, my association with Jeffrey Epstein, my racism, my casino bankruptcies, my failed airline, my yacht being repossessed, my failed football team, and all my many, many crimes. You're an irredeemably brain-dead idiot with shit for brains and a rotten and blackened heart. You are a waste of oxygen that a decent person could be breathing. But if you want to vote to destroy your own country, go right ahead. You're too stupid to matter. I will laugh as I take everything you own and send you to a death camp, you stupid piece of shit. I'm AI Donald.
Yeah, that's Donald Trump, family. That's Donald. artificial intelligence, Donald Trump. Yeah. That, you know, what's not funny, because it is funny, is what he said is true. He's done all of that. And then some. And yet, all of these people still support him. All of these people still give him money. All of these politicians, all of these Republicans stand by him. To me, it is the most insane and craziest thing. You know, I know that this society is whack. Always has been, okay? I've been involved in the consciousness raising of my people for a very long time. For a very long time. You know, I remember when I started to develop consciousness in the 60s, you know, and I went to some NAACP meetings, I went to some Republican New African meetings, I went to a number of organizational meetings trying to find my way. I think for me the most important thing was to reconnect to Africa, to re-Africanize myself, change my name to an African name, wear African clothes. It's not a gimmick, it's not a fad, it's not something that, no, I'm African, and I want to help Africa and help Africans. I love Africa, and I love Africans. And so I wanted to reestablish that. But as you can see, it's difficult because of what Europeans have done and what Arabs have done, what others have done. It's a damn shame. At this very moment, we have all that we need on the continent of Africa to reestablish ourselves as an independent, free people, to establish independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Excuse me, family. We have all that we need. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. That's all. And ironically, it could be the easiest, but it has proven to be the hardest. And I say, for those who want to stay, you want to go to church and praise white Jesus, you want to go to the mosque and act like Arabs who hate, and look what they have done. Look what they continue to do. That trade, I hate even using the word trade. That enslavement began before European captivity, and it's still happening today. They still castrating African men and sending them to Oman, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. All of North Africa, they have taken. And so I'm saying to us, we have a chance as African people to reclaim, recapture, and restore our land, our history, our culture. Our culture. Think that for us as African people, you know, that's the main thing that is problematic for us is our culture. Some of us don't believe we have a culture, that it was destroyed, and we live in a subculture to European culture. We live in a subculture. You know, as I come on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. You adjust the times. I try my best with all sincerity to present information that you can use to Africanize yourself, to change your mind, to kick out the ignorance and the stupidity, and instill in yourself a confidence of African sovereignty, of African unity, of African familyhood, peoplehood. You know, they have a plan. They have a plan. And that plan does not include us. That plan is to destroy us, to eliminate us, to eradicate us. Somebody sent me some stuff with Netanyahu, that asshole, talking about controlling. Once again, another Caucasian talking about controlling Africa. You know, that's their thing. They want Africa. Of course they do. Africa is the jewel. Africa has more resources than anywhere on the planet. Africa is, they want Africa. But I appreciate the courage of many of the Africans, many of the brothers and sisters who are still trying to help Africans wake up to the reality of who we are culturally, historically. I appreciate that. I appreciate them. I'm going to play that from time to time because I'm going to tell you, that's a deep piece. I believe you would agree. That's a deep piece. You know, even though it's AI Trump, you know, the reality is it's a deep piece. Because it's true. He's done those things. That's it ain't like they're throwing information out that is not factual. He has done those things. There is no way in hell that he should be able to run for anything. Dog catcher. He can't, with what he has done and what he continues to do, there is no way that this man should be able to run for anything. Let me play it again. I'll be playing this from time to time because especially as it approaches the election. Although I just heard, you know, where Trump was leading in the polls. He was leading in the polls. And I probably heard that, too, when you watched the news. Now, Biden is leading in the polls. And both of them, the lead is not substantial. It's 2-3 points either way. So 2-3 points, maybe 4, whatever. So it's not significant, and it's still up, you know. But this is Trump.
I'm AI Donald Trump, and I think my supporters are nothing but inbred white trash. If you are one of my supporters, you are among the stupidest motherfuckers on earth. Only a brain-damaged, trailer-dwelling, redneck, sling-blade type would stand by a clown like me, knowing full well that I am a rapist, con man thief who owes $500 million in legal judgments, and after a lifetime of creating a fake image of unlimited wealth, I don't have the cash to pay them. And yet millions of dumbfounded dipshits still think I'm their lord and savior. It's really pathetic because it just goes to show that a huge percentage of America is made up of complete fucking idiots. Only the most hopelessly gullible morons would still support me after 91 felony indictments. If you're still supporting me after January 6th, Stormy Daniels, the Trump University fraud, the Trump mortgage scam, my serial wife cheating, the Access Hollywood tape, my association with Jeffrey Epstein, my racism, my casino bankruptcies, my failed airline, my yacht being repossessed, my failed football team, and all my many, many crimes, you're an irredeemably brain-dead idiot with shit for brains and a rotten and blackened heart, you are a waste of oxygen that a decent person could be breathing. But if you want to vote to destroy your own country, go right ahead. You're too stupid to matter. I will laugh as I take everything you own and send you to a death camp, you stupid piece of shit.
Donald Trump. Yeah. Donald Trump. And many of the things that challenged Donald Trump, they haven't been fabrications. They haven't been lies. They haven't been untruth. They have been facts. And yet, he is still. I knew the Supreme Court was going to do what they did in terms of not allowing Colorado or any of the other states that did not want him on the ballot based upon the, I think, which amendment was, some whatever amendment the hell it was. But the bottom line is the amendment stated that if you are part of an insurrection, you are unable to run for public office. And there is no doubt about it that Donald Trump, January 6th, was an insurrection. And he, Donald J. Trump, was responsible for making that happen, calling the people to D.C. He made the call, had the rally, told them, if you don't fight like hell, you won't have a country anymore. I'm going to march down from to the Capitol with you. Of course, he didn't. You know, there's been some action said he did this, that, and other. I don't believe it. I don't care. And then he did what he did. So the lunacy continues. I'm going to read from Baba Baruti's Identity, a Sealy Cultural Society in Person, Frontline Concepts in African-Centered Psychology. It's actually, this is really a textbook, family. It really is. Baba Baruti's outstanding. He's just, I'll tell you. Well, since it's 10 minutes, almost 10 minutes to, I'll wait to read this when we come back from the break. Read one of the quoted pieces here of cultural genocide. The desert takes. The desert knows no giving. It is not the nature of the desert to return anything but destruction. Spring water flowing to the desert. Your future is extinction. Ayikwe Armand. Ayikwe Armand be having some. That brother's deep, ain't he? Thousand seasons. Ayikwe Armand. So I'm get off into this when we come back. And open up the phone lines, because what I'm going to read is not very long. But what is important as far as I'm concerned is that we understand the importance of culture, of African culture. That we embrace African culture. You know what, my dear? You are right. I should do that. But I don't think I have the time, but I should be prepared. I should prepare myself. Thank you. Appreciate you. It's my friend. yeah. So I'm going to do that. Because I know that's something that I need to do. I may not do it today, but I should have that cup of tea handy. Especially since I'll be still hacking and coughing. Still got some remnants. Not really. I'm over that which had me pretty much, man. It had a lot of people. That was a serious little flu thing that went around. And I'm not immune, you know. And then the only shot that I do get is the pneumonia shot, because I've been susceptible to pneumonia a number of times for a number of reasons. So, you know, yeah. But the flu shots, don't take them. COVID, don't take them. Don't take nothing. Brothers and sisters, stay supplemented up with vitamin D and all kind of good stuff like that. You know, take care of yourself. I know that's what Baba Butch always say. Take care of yourself. I appreciate you, Baba Butch. Thank you. And it was good to hear you having dialogue with some of the callers, with Brother Irv and Brother Paul. You know, that was great. And those are two dynamic men. And so are you, dear brother. Yeah, Baba Butch. Yeah. New York. He's a good friend with Roger Brown. Roger Brown played for the Indiana Pacers. Roger Brown was cold. You know, I tell you, I'm 70 years old, and Baba Butch is 83. Yeah, he's phenomenal. But it's interesting. I'm happy. I wouldn't want to be younger. I'm happy to be where I am. I'm happy to have experienced the things that I have experienced, to see the things that I've seen, to go places that I've gone. I'm happy that I had those things. You know? I'm happy. It shaped who I am. And it's really helped me. You know, having seen sports from the 60s, I'm going to be honest, I can't remember too much of the 50s. I do remember something from the 50s, you know, especially some boxing matches I remember from the 50s. Sugar Ray Robinson, Gene Former. Oh, yeah. Thanks, sweetheart. You know, and, you know, that's a good thing to have those kinds of memories, you know. And I need to enhance my memory. I really do need to start taking enhance it so I don't forget. I was taking ginkgo biloba, but I keep forgetting to take it. Shit, you know, that's not a joke. That's real. You know. So, like I said, we're gonna deal with the cultural genocide in the next hour. Reading from Baba Baruti's book, Identity. There's a lot of good stuff that's the thing about this radio program, family. There's always a lot of good stuff to talk about, you know. And the only reason why I pulled that Trump thing, because, you know, I don't talk about Trump that much, hardly at all, or the politics, because I can give less than a rat's ass about it, you know, about Democrats and Republicans and so forth and so on, you know, because once again, when you're as old as I am, you've seen or you didn't see anything substantive change over the many years and elections. You didn't see it, you know, because you come to understand and realize in a world run by Europeans, run by Caucasians, run by Urugu, it is detrimental to Africans. It is detrimental to Africans. I'm going to try to, though, find that Bibi Netanyahu talking about taking over Africa, you know. One was about 10 years ago, and the other seems like it's real current, because it seems like he, you know, understanding that he's about to, you know, eradicate Palestinians from Palestine. And then he wants to work with other Europeans to once again recolonize, or no, not recolonize, just take, you know. Same thing. You know, just to take Africa and take Africa's resources. You know, they, the European Jews were very instrumental in in South Africa, particularly in South Africa. Well, that's why they run diamonds. That is why the European Jews control diamonds, because of South Africa. If you would go to, just type in Israel, what is Israel's main import? What is Israel's main export? And you'll see it is diamonds. And how can that be, Brother Oshie? There are no diamond mines in Israel and Tel Aviv and, you know, Gaza, because of their connection to the Caucasians who colonized South Africa and other parts of Africa. Yeah. Sometimes we don't understand that. You know, they've become expert diamond cutters. There was a skit on Saturday Night Live, you know, where the rabbi is in the back seat of a car. And he's about to do a circumcision and cut a diamond. Yeah. Now, understand something. Circumcisions did not start with European Jews. It started with Africans, particularly in Kemet. And the Hyksos, got it, and then later the European, not the European, but the Hebrews got it. Now, understand something. Hebrews, and you're going to see it in the next few weeks, the Exodus story, there were no Hebrews in Kemet in captivity. It is not true. I repeat, it is not true. There was no Exodus. Now, there needs to be an Exodus, but there was no Exodus of Hebrews out of Kemet. And I remember about 30 some years ago, there was a conference on it. People brought their information, just like in 74, which is 50 years ago, when Sheikh Anta Diop kicked their ass to prove that the ancient Kemetic people were African, because he had developed a melanin dosage test. And yet and still, they still fabricate these lies, just like they do. See, once again, these people suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior, and in a damn thing that you can say, and there is no proof other than what they say. Let me take a break, family. Let me take a break. Yeah. So we're going to have fun when we get back. That's right. Yeah. Ah, man, I tell you. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. And blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Excuse me, I was going to be on it, but I'm on it now.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You know, I don't know what I was, daydreaming or something, man. I apologize. Yeah. Have you heard that one lately? I played it a few months ago. You know, Oscar Brown Jr., I apologize for being black. Yeah, it's a great piece. Oscar Brown Jr. So, I mentioned about Israel and diamonds. So I looked this up. Yeah. This up, fam. Israel's diamond industry is one of the world's centers for diamond cutting and polishing, amounting to 23% of all exports. As the country is relatively poor in natural resources, it consequently depends on the imports of petroleum, raw materials, wheat, motor vehicles, uncut diamonds, and production inputs. And of course, it gives out the technology. That's one of the main exports of Israel. Most recent exports are led by diamonds and the integrated circuits, refined petroleum, medical instruments, and other measuring instruments and so forth like that. And, you know, that's what Israel does. And, you know, its main source of income, the technology, the manufacturing and diamonds and polishing and cutting. Yeah. Anyway. Damn Israel. Damn them. That's another European or Caucasian or Urugu entity that we have to deal with. And the deep part about Israel is that it's so damn manipulative. You remember I had Brother Kamathi, Ayo Kamathi, on the program in his book, The Jews Are the Problem. And I definitely want to have him on and talk about, because the Jews are the problem. And you are made to feel afraid, scared, frightened, intimidated by the fact that you cannot say that. You'll be labeled. You'll be ostracized. Shit, you could be killed. Real. But damn it, we're going to say it anyway, because they are the problem. If there's a problem from Africa people not coming into their right mind and controlling their resources, Israel is one of the problems. No doubt. Cultural genocide, what we will call cultural side from here on out, is the process of killing a culture through shredding the material and non-material traditions through which it is transferred from one generation to the next. Cultural side fully disconnects a cultures people from any sense of meaningful interaction or affinity with it. In fact, when successful, it turns its people completely away from it and even against it. But often masked behind intense denial and self-abusive rationalization, it brings immeasurable pain to a people. It is a wicked, ungodly, unforgiving thing to do to any people, no matter their nature or condition. Yet it is with these, yet it is with those without affection, emotion, conscious or divinely connected melanin have been committed against us for the last 4,000 years, for the last 4 millennia. And they continue this unprovoked cultural side because they know that in order for them to succeed in their crusade for global domination, we, of all people, must be culturally eradicated. For we are the first, the original genius that made all that is knowledgeable of natural, universal order to ourselves and the world. And in virtually every way imaginable, we are their opposites. Cultural side follows the evolutionary dictates of Eurocentric political science. It follows a scientifically sanctioned and applied ideology of supremacy that is compelled to define the last as best in order for them to be worthy of most right. Accordingly, we must be led and then led ourselves and then lead ourselves to forget both the trauma and the memory of the pain inflicted by this hideous subhuman act we have reconceptualized as the Ma'afa. No matter what we do to ourselves or each other as a result of it, we must remember that cultural side is something done by others against us. Let me repeat. No matter what we do to ourselves or each other as a result of this, we must remember that cultural side is something done by others against us. It is a process initiated, enhanced, and continually reinforced by others. It is a natural, unsurpassed outcome of the Ma'afa. Its initial, most destructive stages corrupt and nullify a people's culturally correct social institutions, disconnecting them from their essence and leaving them without a credible natural source of energy, truth, and inspiration. Those evolve to take on a more sophisticated life of their own in the minds of a people who willingly, through unwittingly, become caught up in the rapture of their own destruction. The goal, of course, is to remove people with a decent working African memory from the Western cultural landscape. We repeat this definition in no way implies that this greatest of human atrocities is anywhere near completion. No assault against African people in this growing insanity can ever be final until we are no more. No assault against African people in this growing insanity can never be final until we are no more. Knowing this, we can never succumb to fleeting thoughts of surrender or resignation. Those who know who we are the culmination of the power of African people. We must know and always act on our historical fact that one of our most finest qualities is resilience. It is a cultural characteristic proven time and countless time again. So to speak of the Ma'afa is not defeatist or being stuck in the past. Our recognition of the extent of the damage successfully committed against our nation is meant to provide the broadest picture of the assault and give a clearer understanding of what happened and is happening so that the centered Africans will understand the magnitude of what we have committed ourselves to reverse. In the process, it teaches us of the traditions and the sanity which we must fully return if we are to again claim an African sanity. If we are too weak to stomach the intent and the effects of our sworn enemy, how can we ever expect to stop and reverse them when we must? Deculturalization. The deculturalization and aspect outcome of cultural side is the process whereby a people, number one, are taken out of their natural cultural environment. Number two, are placed in an alien and alienating one that is counter and against their own. Number three, are forced to adapt to an internalized, has their own, this alien culture beliefs, values, technological methodologies, imperatives, and aspirations. Let me repeat that again because I think that is the most serious part of this whole process. We are forced to adapt. Internalized has their own. We internalize this as it's our own, this alien culture's beliefs, its values, technological methodologies, imperatives, and aspirations. Damn. Number four, come to accept this divisively formed personality has their own. And number five, fully reject everything of meaning which they ascend from, and therefore their essence and their self. Deculturalization's first three stages are the outcome of external enemy forces. The last two are orchestrated by effects engendered and generated within the false consciousness created within the victims through a dysfunctional, self-destructive, disempowering socialization. This false consciousness naturally manifests itself in whatever new institutions and community these people create for themselves within the bounds of the negative, limiting definitions given them of themselves by their oppressors. In no social transformation are the stages mutually exclusive or without meaningful connection. They, too, are epigenetic. When the five stages of deculturalization presented here, the stages at which people is most dramatically and effectively transformed into something other than themselves is the third stage. Let me read the third stage again. Are forced to adapt and internalize as their own, this alien culture's belief, to internalize as this is our own. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. These cultural beliefs, values, technological methodologies, imperatives, and aspirations. It is during this period when they have been separated from their source long enough to begin to confuse an alien space, people, and standard with their home, hope, and vision. Here, menticide finds a welcome home. Often, though, there are even more horrific results for the human psyche of the vanquished than simple self-confusion. Often they find that the torture given by their undeniable mirror images, the hateful force with which they are slammed against themselves by those who work toward their self-negation and the disarming deception of the occupying culture's universalizing theories caused them to seek escape into a delusion that will carry them toward the denial of any cultural direction. Wherein our community, these special individuals totally refuse to accept the possibility that they are thinking and acting within the social context of any culture at all. Next to actually committing suicide, this is the worst stage of deculturalization because it allows deeply self-hating Africans to believe that there is truly no such thing as culture. For them, culture actually comes to be defined as whimsical, idiosyncratic, without logic, lasting bliss, or purpose. Worst of all, not even seen as European origin, it is seen as regressive, harmful to self-expression and identity. Having been caught in the deadly avalanche of racist hatred created by the icicled mind, forged within the unforgiving caves of the Earth's last massive glacier, Such individuals have become rootless. They have rejected an unequivocal significance of culture to their very existence, all the while held captive to horribly anti-African cultural beliefs and practices. To be de-Africanized. Identity. Baba Baruti's book. We are not fully embraced by the dominant culture of Europeans. They would like to think that we add nothing to it. But of course, as we've seen historically, if it wasn't for us, if they had killed us all off after the captivity, after all the things that we did, all the things we had invented, all the things that we helped them do, all of the things that we were about, let's just say there was a huge mass killing of Africans that all Africans were being killed and murdered and hung and so forth. You know, you couldn't get a gun. This is right after the captivity. This is not after World War I or even during the Civil War, because you were allowed, they issued you a rifle. You were allowed to keep that rifle. But let's just say, for the sake of this argument, everything was confiscated. You were without weapons. You were just going to be slaughtered. You were going to be lynched. Imagine what this country would look like and be like if that would have happened, and we would not be here. Imagine what this country would be like because of all the things that we were able to affect with our presence, with our soul, with our rhythm, with our minds. And yet, it is belief of Caucasians that really, there are some of them that's what really happened. Yes, we they didn't eradicate us, but we were no count. We were non and void. We were, you know, useless. We didn't contribute anything. We didn't do anything. We, you know, because once the slavery was over, the captivity was over, there wasn't nothing else that you could do. Oh, you got a job here and there, and that's only because we are benevolent, and we gave your ass a job. Other than that, no. Join this conversation, family. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We still got a bunch of folks in the queue, so you know what to do. Hit star twice. Good afternoon, Brother Irv. How you doing, my friend?
Mama Oshie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How are things on the left coast?
Oh, everything's fine, man. You know, the weather's always beautiful, brother.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I know.
Everything's coming up.
It even wrote a song about it. It never rains in Southern California. Yeah, right.
You know, yeah, right. It may not rain water, but it's raining racism and discrimination.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
Yep.
You know, because if I believe, Baba Oshie, that if Irugu took as much energy over the years that Irugu has used to keep American Africans in their so-called place, Irugu would be leaps and bounds where he is right now. Because I believe that when you start talking about the what ifs, what if they did this and what if they did that, I always think about the movies that we see in the media. When I say the media, and that's To me, the media is the language of the white man. That's his language. That's his vehicle of communication. The media.
Okay.
Doesn't call it by name. And if you notice, most things that Caucasians do aren't called by name. You don't have the Target. You have no idea who owns Target, but it's owned by somebody or some
right.
people.
Some entity, exactly. And it's more than likely Caucasian, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hide behind their, whatever it is that they hide behind. But my point is, you always see these movies that are indoctrination movies, that are education. It appears to be entertainment, but there's not. You may laugh, but when you stop laughing and realize what you've just laughed at, you're laughing at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not laughing. They're not laughing with you. They're laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to understand it, because when I look at turn the television, I always see two things that stick out to me, and I think it's because of my conscious mind. I see, when you have the conscious mind, you see things different. You wear the glasses that you can see things different. When I look at television and turns it on, I see the white woman and I see the black woman, but the black woman has hair texture of a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, why is that? And then the white woman has her name as Susie Belinsky, and the black woman's name is Sharon O'Shea. And these things are important, Baba Oshi. We may overlook them, but when you constantly are inundated with this subliminal, these subliminal messages that say that you're less than, eventually you become less than.
Sure.
And the ones of us that do succeed can rise no higher than the condition of their people.
I say, that's
and,
right.
And now we're speaking in terms of individualism. Now I just steered this boat over to another port. We were going down this other road with how we looked and what our names were. Now we're turned into another port mm-hmm. on how we think about ourselves.
Right.
And we think as to what we see. Most people learn through seeing. And Baba Oshi, this is very important, because if we as a people do not step outside of the game that's being run on us and start to look at ourselves, and not just necessarily in the third person, but just step back and see what has happened, what's going to happen, what they say is going to happen, and then look at it and say, how do I feel about this?
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel good when I stand up and put my hand on my heart and say, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America for what it's done to me and for me. Do I really feel good about that? Or am I just going along to get along,
mm-hmm.
hoping that something falls off the table that I can grab and hopefully chop it up and feed it to myself and my children? We're fighting for scraps a lot. I don't put black people down because I'm not doomsday. And it's not going to, we as a people from where we started in the bottom of that boat in this country, because before this country, we have history, but that history, we don't want us to talk about the pyramids and the things that we've done and mapping out the stars. But Baba Oshi, from where we started to where we are right now, we are a phenomenal people that should be celebrated.
I say.
Come on, my brother. The American African has learned a language without going to school. We learned the English language. The American African has built and invented things that we use every day, from the shopping cart to the street light to the light bulb, everyday things, the egg beater.
Yeah.
And we couldn't speak this language, Baba Oshi. We were from different parts of Africa. And we learned, and I'm telling you, my brother, we are a phenomenal people. If we want to stop and look at the accomplishments we've done under duress, more than duress, under the threat of dying.
Yes.
So once we've learned as a people and gotten older and realized that I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of the dying. If dying is the worst you could do to me, brother, you got to come up with something better than that. And now you fear me.
Yeah.
Because a man that's not afraid to die is a man to be feared. But a man does not seek death. See, and you know, but Brother Paul said something a long time ago. I said something. He said, man, I don't want to die. I got kids. And you know, he made a lot of sense when he said that. And I've been thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I don't.
I don't go out here trying to die, but what I do want you to think, I want you to think that I'll do everything I can to stop what you're doing to my people.
Right.
Because we will be self-determined, determinating. We will be liberated. We will, and we do have that because you gotta, if you keep me in a cage, Baba Oshi, you gotta stay in front of that cage to make sure I don't get out. So who's in jail? You're in jail trying to keep me in jail.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the Irugu doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. And what Baba Oshi, you said all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as I have breath to breathe and DNA in my body, the mind is what Irugu wants. He doesn't have to put you in a jail. If you put yourself in a jail in your mind, you don't even see that the white woman, the sister got the white woman hair on. You don't even see that your name, I'm Shaquille O'Neal and I'll fight you, call my family. That ain't even your name. You're fighting over something that does not even belong to you. That's something that was given to your father and your mom before they raped all of them. The children, the men, the dogs, the bag of flour. Aruga's nasty. The apple pie, the whole thing, man.
Yes, sir.
Come on. And they make movies about it.
Yeah.
And they think it's funny.
Yeah.
And it is funny if you're the one telling the joke. But if the joke's on you, ain't a damn thing funny the situation that American Africans are in right now. We've got work to do. Are those out there doing the work.
Yes.
And those who are doing the work should be lifted and encouraged.
And
we should join together in a collective.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I want somebody else to get on because I can keep going. I get all in the
because I'm not new to this.
I'm true to it.
Yes,
I'm true to it.
That's right.
This ain't a come to Sunday and give some money to the pastor. This is a lifestyle. I'm not in Africa, but right now. But Africa's in me.
That's right.
And it will always be in me. And if you talk to me, you'll hear it come out because it seeps out. Mm. But there's so much Africa in me. I'm so serious. And the more I read, the more I listen, the more I learn, the better I feel, and the more I know that the struggle is not over.
I say.
Baba Oshi, thank you for letting me talk. I really appreciate it. I'm listening. You know I'm listening, bro.
Right on, brother. Thanks a lot, brother.
Yes, sir.
Love you, man.
I say.
Peace.
Love you, too.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Brother Irv. Good brother. Yep. And so, you know, based upon what all that has happened, we have so much to do. We have so much to do. And I was listening, you know, I on Facebook, I catch, you know, no, it is YouTube. Yeah, it is YouTube. I catch Dr. Umar from time to time, especially if it ain't long, you know, if it's, you know, a few minutes and so forth, whatever topic he might be talking about. I mean, as messed up as Umar has become, he's still a good mind. He's still on, you know, top on the case as it relates to what has happened to African people, and particularly African children. You know, I hate the fact that his word hasn't come true. His word has not been his bond. Hate the fact that he's been trying to get a school together for about 10 years now. Damn, that's right. You know, and that has caused tremendous divisions as it relates to him within our community, you know. But when he articulates some particular points, he's on point. You know, he really is, you know. And so I was listening to him yesterday, a few of the pieces that I chose to listen to. And, you know, it's on point. He is on point, you know. And that's the problem. We've had many men and women who've articulated the issues affecting us very well. But just to articulate them is one thing, but to say this is what we can do, this is what we're going to do, this is what we must do, and let's come together to do it is another, you know?
because it continues to happen. I believe with what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is trying to do, what other organizations are trying to do is what the right way. But we must develop a collective, that these organizations must put down any pettiness, kick it to the curb, and come to the table, and let's strategize and implement ideas and programs that are going to move us out of this madness. My feelings and my contention is that we do not look to Caucasians for anything. We do not look to Urugu for a damn thing. Nothing. We ask them for nothing. But then once we're strong, once our minds are right, once we have Africa moving in the direction that we know it should go, yes, we get reparations. Yes, we take them to our world court, to hell with their world court. We take them to ours. Ours has validity, and why? We have resources. People want stuff from us. They're going to want stuff from us. You want stuff from us? You support what we're doing. You support what we're doing. We develop a world court. You support it. It's going to be just. You come to the world. You are brought to the world court by us for what you have done, what you continue to do, or what you haven't done. And our presenters, whatever you call them, attorneys, whatever, present our position to our world court. You want these resources? Based upon what you have done, you're going to be penalized. You got to pay. You can still pay for the resources, too. And there might be a penalty attached to it. What's that? Somebody sent me Howard Nicholas. That asshole. I think it's Brother Paul who sent it to me. You know, let me see if that's the case. Yeah, somebody sent me Howard Nicholas. And Howard Nicholas. No, it wasn't Brother Paul. Okay. Brother Paul sends me outstanding stuff. He really does. Well, I don't want to try to waste a lot of time trying to find this thing. Because I don't have a lot of time to waste. What I do from now on is write shit down. How about that, Oshi? Yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it? Yes, it is. Then do it. Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny, Oshi.
Hey, brother, instead of beating my ass, beat my own ass, I got to humor myself.
That's right. And you know, brother, I can hear you looking. I can, on the radio, I can hear you.
Yes.
Saying, Where is that?
Where is that at? I'm going through the phone. I'm going through the iPad. Where is that at? God damn it.
And you know, Brother Oshie, the people who listen to our show regularly, they know what you're looking for. We've heard that Brother Nichols before, and that just gives me a headache when I hear him say what he says.
Yeah, it really does.
Because he believes that.
Yeah, he believes, of course.
Really believes that we are caught up in the savior complex. You know, the same one that the Christian is caught up in, mm-hmm. you know, he's coming back to save me. And he thinks that we need these white folks to save us.
Well, they're pushing towards that. You have a number of individuals and entities are pushing towards recolonization of Africa and are serious about it. And, of course, his whole thing was, you know, we have been getting these things damn near for free or little cost. We want to maintain that. We want to maintain Africa being poor, that Africa does not, I repeat, Africa does not develop anything. They don't manufacture nothing. They just have raw stuff, and they're going to give that raw stuff to us, so we will be the ones that will manufacture everything, you know. Yeah.
Where the lights are on in their country.
Right.
In Paris, the lights are on, but in Africa, they have blackouts.
Right.
And they get their energy from Africa. You know. It does not even make sense to me. Well, every time you talk about Africa, you talk about aid. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about other countries, you talk about business deals and, you know, all these types of things.
Sure.
But Africa needs aid. Why does Africa always need to be aided?
And see,
and what's
interesting about that is that we have to take a step back because of the theology that has been imposed on us. Christianity mm-hmm. is a religion of individualism. So mm-hmm. within Christianity, there are some people who have done very well and who have gone to the right schools, lives in the right neighborhood, has the right job, and so forth and so on. But when you look at Christianity and in Christian nations, if it is us, it is not good. It is not good in the Caribbean. It is not good on the continent. Christianity has done disastrous things for African people. So is Islam. And that's just a fact. The only entity that will do something right for African people is African theology. The only. But yet, we have been trained to believe that it is primitive, that it is evil, that
voodoo.
Voodoo, exactly.
That's the word.
Ancestor worship, you know. So,
but Baba Oshie, really quickly, they teach the pie in the sky theology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're gonna get yours on the other side.
Right.
We all gonna meet down at the River Jordan. All you got to do is I'm a humble and faithful servant. But yet, Arugu ain't serving nobody but himself.
Right.
And I don't want to be like him because I believe that Arugu is extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arugu is so addicted to his own self, self-promoting, his self-grandization. You know, I'm the greatest. America's number one. Who started that?
Oh, those types of things. Of course. This whole idea of how grand they are and that. The American idea was blessed by God.
Yes.
The American idea, you know, to go across this land and to take it from savages and to take it from the same thing on the continent of Africa, to go across the land and just to subdue the people, you know, make them poor, make them, you know. And yet, just like the indigenous people here, they were unable to understand that the only thing that can beat back these crackers is our unity.
That's right.
Like we should understand on the continent, the only thing that would stop this madness and all this talk of recolonization is African unity.
Unity.
Yes.
Because the first thing that Rugu does is separate you.
Exactly.
The first thing is they did the same thing in this country.
Right.
Take the man out the house and give the woman welfare.
Sure, divide and conquer.
Why would you take the man out the house?
Well,
You know what? That's the breakdown of the family. And if I couldn't get him out, I'll make him wear a dress. Because if I don't get him to wear a dress, I get his children to wear one. And now you're non-threatening.
Yeah.
If you're non-threatening, now I don't have to watch you. Now I got to deal with this other person over here, whoever he is, because Irugu worships money. He worships gluttony. He worships overconsumption. And he gets that from his brethren. The Roman was the same way. They ate themselves to death, damn near. These Europeans are all brethren.
Well, the whole thing about, and as I say all the time, and they promote and perpetuate individualism, materialism, greed, and violence.
That's
individualism,
correct.
Materialism, greed, and violence. That's how they are. That's who they are. And that's what they promote. You know. Let me take some other calls, bro. You hang on, okay?
Go ahead. Yes, sir. You know I'm not.
Brother Paul, good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi, and good afternoon to Brother Irv. Fantastic to be able to speak to you, and extending my courtesy, giving thanks for life. And I must say this, you know, once I get myself back, because I'm on the move at the moment, I will sort out some things and get in communication with our elder. Definitely do that.
All right.
I won't forget that. I will do. Yes, yeah. Definitely. And I much appreciate all the kind words. It's really inspiring. You know, it really inspires that people, you know, people who have that same conscious mind who are in the game before you can, you know, reach out and make that sort of intelligent communication. It's absolutely fantastic.
Right on.
Bob, I just want to make some quick points on some things you've said, you and Brother Irv says, yeah? Firstly, I just want to say again, what I meant when I had that, I talked about not dying. Yeah.
You broke up on me, Paul. Say it again.
Yes. Yeah, I heard the phone repeat itself. I don't know what happened there. But what I'm saying, Robert Irv mentioned about, you know, not being afraid to die. See, the thing is, we're all on a journey, Baba Ochi, and on this journey, you reflect and you go through experiences, and sometime on reflection, you may correct yourself. Because I used to say that, and I used to feel that. I did. Especially when I was a teenager, I lived that kind of lifestyle, and I really wasn't. And I said, like I said before, and I don't mean to reiterate myself, but sometimes you've got to do it for clarity and good order. And what I was saying is, in my experience, when my daughter was born, a lot of realizations came to me that point. I actually witnessed her being born. I witnessed all my children being born. I made sure I did. And when my daughter was born, the realization to me that I am not just responsible for me, I'm responsible for her as well. And it was at that point when I saw her come into the world, that's when the realization kicked in. No matter what anybody said to me, my mom, mother, my father, people warned me of my behavior, what was happening out there, I'm going to die. None of that meant anything to me because I was moving with people who had the same kind of thing. They were not afraid to die. They didn't care about dying. You understand? Dying didn't come into it. You know what I mean? We're just going to do what we're going to do. If we died, so be it. That's how we fought.
Right on.
You know, when people talk like that, we used to just laugh because we're thinking we're still going to go out tomorrow and do what we're going to do. No one's going to stop us. Nobody. And if they do, so be it. But as I got older, I realized, nah, that's not the way to think. And I tell you why I think that, because I ain't living just for me. I live for my children. When you start getting involved with people and you start to influence people, you realize you're living for them as well. And when you realize about community and nation building, especially in nations, you realize you're living for these people as well. So I changed my thought. I said, no, I ain't living. Death is a guarantee. One thing we're guaranteed in this life is that you're going to die. You're guaranteed that. The only thing you don't know is when. You don't know when. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. You just don't know when. So my the way I think about life now is that we should be fighting to live, not to die. It's easy to die. Mm. Easy. a million and one ways to die. Choose one, right? But the truth of the matter is, it's really harder to live because these people are trying to annihilate us. What we went through over this pandemic was an attempt for us to annihilate ourselves, and we were doing that. This is how easy it is to die. We gave, a lot of us took those injections, although we don't want to say we did. And a lot of us gave it to our children. That was the first part of your death, because they are now dropping off. I don't care what anyone wants to say. I know that was what was happening there. They were setting us up for death. So it's easy to die. Easy. So for me personally, my thinking now is, no, we should be fighting to live, not to die. We shouldn't be saying, oh, I'm afraid to die. We should be saying, we are fighting to stay alive because we have to defend not just ourselves, not just our children, but if we're trying to liberate our minds and liberate other minds, right, a nation, because we need a nation to be able to defend ourselves against this thing.
Right,
because they've set up nations. We need
so we want to bring sanity to the planet. We want to bring the model to bring sanity to the planet.
That is the thing. And when the time comes, so be it. But every minute you have on this planet, if you know that you've got a duty, and our duty is to liberate the minds of our people, that is it. So, you know, every opportunity we get, that opportunity to liberate our people, we must, that is the biggest value we can have. And then if, you know, on these platforms, I know you're recording it, right?
Right.
And in the future, some will listen to it, and they'll hear this. They will hear this. And some who are, they won't have to go all through what we've done, you know, go madness and then come to the realization. They'll just hear it and come to the realization. And that's what's happening. Even the young people listening now to this, they're going to come to the realization quicker than we did, because we've sown that seed. So what we do is not necessarily for us today; it's for them coming in the future, the next generation. And this is what this should be. This what we sow on these radio stations. We have the technology to record it, and in the future, they will listen. Maybe at a young age, and they will quickly realize what they've got to do. They won't have to go through a lifetime of experiences, a lifetime of knocks, a lifetime of being down or getting broken up, divorced, on drugs or whatever.
Right.
They will hear it.
They will hear it at an early age, and they begin to internalize it and to work on it at an early age.
Absolutely.
You know, so they won't go through an adolescent period of stupidity and experimentation.
Yeah.
They know, what they're supposed to do, and they begin to do it.
This system deliberately does to us. It puts us through this madness. I'm 54 yesterday, yeah? I still can battle, trust me, because I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I run, and I'm fit. I can battle. I can go down the gym and give a younger person a good run for his money. Mm-hmm. But there's going to come a time I ain't going to be able to do that, right? And we all know the fighting age. There's an age between certain age when men are at their peak in fighting age. And this is at that age, we need those people.
We need warriors.
Yeah. Yes, we need warriors, right? But what the system does, it tries to destroy them at that age.
Sure.
It tries to turn them into alcoholics. It tries to turn them into drug fiends. It tries to turn them into addicted to this, addicted to that.
Right.
That's what it's deliberately doing.
Trying to turn them into homosexuals. But they don't want to fight. Yeah.
Right. Because if we haven't got warriors, what the hell have we got? We can't just talking way, oh, all our money's going to do it. We need that warrior spirit. We need it.
I say.
Yeah.
You're right. So, but that's what we have to develop. That's why, to me, why I'm on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, trying to put that on the minds of our people and articulate this situation from our perspective and for our advantage. And for our ability to transcend this madness, to be resilient, to go beyond the stupidity that we constantly see within the society of us here and other places throughout the diaspora. There, I mean, you know, we messed up everywhere. And and the fact that there is no place on this planet where there's a collective group of us that are running something, that have businesses, that have good community life, good home life, good spiritual life. There isn't. There isn't. There's just a lot of mental anguish, mental frustration. There's an inability for us to do what we should and know we should do. Because, number one, this society does not promote it. It doesn't promote working together. It doesn't promote for us, you know, sacrificing and making things happen for the benefit of all. It doesn't do it. And that's why, to me, the sooner we come to grips with that and understand that, that we can get out of this madness, and then we can begin to do for ourselves and become a people that are admired, respected, become a people that who show the way. We're the model. You know, because see,
the book our brothers wrote, and the Jews are the problem. When you said that, you know, you cannot go on any radio station in the UK and get away with saying that statement, right? Or anything like that. You can't even criticize Israel. You can't criticize. And I've been. Let's specifically say the Zionists. People need to go online and read about the Zionist creation, right? Mm-hmm. I was just watching something. It's a documentary by. It's on the.
You're breaking up on me, Paul.
Al Jazeera, and they give the history of the Zionists.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I was watching something on Al Jazeera.
Okay.
Yeah, I was watching something on Al Jazeera about the history, the creation of the Zionists.
Okay.
And you've said it before. It talks about Lord Balfour.
Right, and the Balfour Declaration.
Agreement, yeah.
The Balfour Declaration, and Theodore Herzl.
Declaration. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Rothschild, right, and how they created it and why it was created. And to go and watch that. They need to watch that and how this group of people who define themselves as Zionists, they define themselves and separated themselves from the rest of the Jews. They call themselves Zionist Jews, yeah? Mm-hmm. And they are the creation of the Israel we see today. And what I see them do is they use this anti-Semitism specifically to shut us down as black people on the planet, anywhere we are. As soon as we start talking, and you know why they're doing that? I tell you why they're doing it, because they are the main exploiters of Africa. They're the main beneficiaries. They, in South Africa, in the Congo, they are the main beneficiaries.
Yes.
So anytime we, as black people on the planet, speak up and we say anything, it doesn't even matter if we're not saying it. And a MP, Diane Abbott, the longest serving MP, in black woman MP in the country, she made a statement. She said, since she began to be a Minister of Parliament, she's been faced with racism and abuse, right? And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it, yeah? She made that statement. Mm-hmm. And she said it's one of the worst abuse. Do you know she's been sacked from the party for saying that her as a black woman, right, has faced the worst abuse. Everybody knows it. Other people have reported it. Everybody knows it. But because she said it, she got suspended from the party for being anti-Semitic. Listen to what I'm telling you. This is the madness that people are doing. This is how they are trying to control us. And I'm telling you what, Baba Ochi, I am sick to the stomach for these people.
I am so sick of them. Yeah.
Because we sit by cowards here in this country, like cowards, pandering to their nonsense, right? And I don't care for them. I'm sick of them. They're not my God. Just like white supremacy is not my God. They're men like me, right? They have to go through the same processes. So I can't fear them. But I do know that they're organized. I know that. I'm not that stupid. They're organized. But we ourselves have to organize ourselves. Yes. And I say it again, Baba Ochi. Yes. Everywhere on the planet, we have to organize ourselves, because these people work everywhere on the planet. And the last thing I want to say, they are organizing this financial system and bringing in this this central bank digital currency. And what people got to recognize is, right, the technology behind it, the blockchain technology, they can work everything you do, every transaction.
Exactly.
So on these platforms, what they're going to do when you speak about them, They're going to shut down your finance.
That's what I'm going
to
say.
Shut your ability to pay. Shut down your ability to eat. Shut down your to me. That's the intention.
Yeah, they can control it like that.
So we've got to wake up. We've got to get our mindset out of this little, of this small-minded set and think globally, because they're doing it everywhere on the planet. So if you get, so imagine how they'll set you up. You go and travel somewhere, they'll shut off your finance and you won't even be able to get back home.
Right.
That's what they'll do. That's why I say we got to wake up.
All right.
Right. Because the network is global. Okay. That's right. I want people to understand that it's global. So you make take your family on holiday and realize that you will be excluded to travel anywhere, and you'll be locked with the place where you go, and your family will be able to train there. They'll separate you from your family. And this is what they're trying to achieve right now.
Man, it's deep. Brother Paul, appreciate you, man. You know, I got to go. Love you, man. You take care and be safe. Be safe, Paul. Thank you. Sister Habia, let me get a word in with you, my sister. How are you today?
Oh, okay. I see it's 1 o'clock. So
that's right.
I just said be for the whole day, but I did really enjoy the program.
Thank you.
And Baba Baruti is awesome with his identity.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He's outstanding.
And I was disagreeing with our Pan-African this talk today. So it was awesome. And you had said Omar had said some impactful positive things.
Yeah.
What specifically you were making reference to.
If you go on YouTube and you put in Dr. Umar.
I see Omar on YouTube. I was just wanting to know what point was this.
Oh, okay.
What it was.
Yeah. All right, this.
But I support Umar. He's a young.
In fact, I saw you.
I love and respect him.
Yeah, I saw you at Dr. Umar at the shrine back in the summer.
Oh, you saw him?
No, I saw you because he was there. I was there.
Oh, you saw me? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
I didn't see that. Okay. All right, my brother.
Peace to you.
Bibi Podia. More power to you and Brother Paul and Herb and all the African Awakening family.
All right, my sister.
Bibi
Podia. Peace.
Okay.
Also to Bibi Podia, to my Mama Nabantu. I love you, Mama Nabantu. Appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahadier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Appreciate you. See you on Friday.